Again, I want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I don't have any pop this morning, so you're stuck. You're going to have to listen to the message this morning. Freedom. That's the title of my message this morning is freedom. We just came past or through July 4th. We celebrate freedom. Sorry, my throat is a little bit messed up this morning, so you can pray that God clears that up for me. We celebrate freedom. We're excited about the freedom we have as a country. We're not too excited about the freedom that's being taken away from us right now. I guess as Christians, we probably shouldn't be too surprised that it's happening, because it's not going to get any better from what we see in Scripture. But as Christians, it's a reminder for us, where is our freedom? It's not in our country. It's not in our government. But this morning I'd like for us to maybe look a little bit at where is our freedom. Thinking about as a young boy, what was freedom to me as a young fella? And you guys can think about, all of you can think about areas in your life where you would think of freedom as a young child. I remember as a young boy in school, if the teacher dismissed us an hour early on Friday nights and we'd go out and play, that was freedom. I can remember the feeling in my being of how much fun that was. We got to go out and play softball. I went to a school where it was an old farmhouse and we had rooms that were fixed up for school. We had a huge ravine off to the side. We had a barn we could play in. That was freedom. Going out and playing, just having a lot of fun with my buddies. That was freedom. A bigger freedom yet was the day that school was closed for the year. I can just feel that. That was so much fun. When we would come to the end of the school year, the teacher would give us our report card. We're going to have a final picnic. That was so much fun. There was freedom in that. Maybe we could call it something else, but that was freedom. As I got a little bit older, some of you are experiencing this right now. You just got your driver's license. Boy, what freedom was that. I remember getting behind the wheel for the first time and I went up to the little town where we lived at. I would have loved for everybody to see me get in that car and take off. I was by myself. I had freedom. Finally, I was old enough to date. That was freedom. Some of you are grinning because you're there. Then I bought my first car. That was freedom. It was an old car, but I had the keys to my car. That was freedom. I got my first job. And then it came to the place where Mom and Dad allowed me to make some of my own decisions. Some more freedom. But yet with that freedom came a huge responsibility. These freedoms bring good memories to us. I want to tell you about a freedom that did not bring good memories to us. We had in our community a young man, his name was Randy. If I can recall correctly, I believe it was Randy. Randy turned 16. Randy got his driver's license. Randy did things his parents wished he wouldn't have done. One night, Randy and his buddy took Randy's, see if I can keep it together here, they took Randy's older brother's driver's license and they went to a nightclub. Randy and his buddy went out drinking that night. Randy never came home. A freedom that went the wrong way. Randy drove off the edge of a bridge, went down onto the road below him. He was instantly killed. He faced eternity that night. His buddy Jeff, that was with him, was okay. Yeah, he was messed up pretty bad, but as far as I know, he's still okay. That's one of those freedoms that we make a choice that brings bad memories, that ends in tragedy. But I want to talk about this morning a freedom that is eternal. Not an earthly freedom. We have these earthly freedoms that we love. But I want to talk to you this morning about a freedom that is eternal. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 3. This is where we've been hanging out at. We're going to read Ephesians 3, verse 1 through 13. And often I have you stand. I'm going to allow you to stay seated this morning. But I want us to think about Paul as we read through these 13 verses. Look at his attitude. His whole attitude that he has. He doesn't have it very good. Harold was talking about this whole thing of them living in the same tents. That to me would not be freedom. But under their circumstances, they have a roof over their heads. Something to be thankful for. 1 Corinthians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. And by the way, what I'm reading here, a lot of this has to do with where we've been. He's just kind of repeating himself, adding a few more things to where he's been at. In verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. We want to focus on verse 1. That's where we're going to be for a minute here. Paul says here, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner. How can Paul have freedom when he's a prisoner? If we look at history, Paul was in a house. During the daytime, he had freedom to roam. Inside this house, he couldn't leave. But at night, he was chained to a guard. There's not a whole lot of freedom in this. We look at it in our earthly sense. But there was freedom in Paul's heart. Let's look a little bit at Ephesians 4. We looked at verse 1 here. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 1. Again, it says, I therefore the prisoner. Again, Paul says he's a prisoner. And it's hard for me to understand. Paul, how can you consider yourselves free? But let's remember, this is a spiritual freedom. Let's drop back to Ephesians 1, the first verse. There it doesn't say prisoner, but it says Paul, an apostle. And these next couple ones I'm not going to have you turn to. But I want to read them just real quick, just a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 1:1 says, again, Paul, called to be an apostle. Colossians 1:1 says, again, Paul, an apostle. And then we go to Romans 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant. That doesn't sound like freedom. Again, an apostle. And then he says, separated. And we're going to look into these for just a minute here. An apostle. What is an apostle? An apostle is one that has received a call from God. We don't call each other apostles today, I understand that. But we all receive a call from God, whether you like to be called an apostle or not. You've received a call from God. We have different calls. But my challenge this morning is, are we listening for that call? Are we listening to what Jesus is asking of us, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us? Am I listening for that call? When God calls us, He has a purpose for that calling. He's got a desire that He puts into us for that calling. So it's very important that we seek that calling, that we know where we're at with the calling He's placed on us. And it's equally important that we don't go beyond that call. When we go beyond that call, we're on our own. God gives us a call. He tells us how far to go. But when we step out of the call into our own, can we call it calling? Then we fall into a ditch. It's important that we stay with the calling that God has placed on our hearts. We don't want to come out from underneath and where we're no longer functioning under the Spirit. Sometimes our ambitions can seem like a call, but it ends up in disaster. Things fall apart. And we cause hurt to the name of the Father. So there is lots of freedom. There's huge freedom in following the call that He lays on our hearts. Paul also said, I'm a servant, one who's willing to serve, willing to do what others won't do. He's willing to stay in the background and not be seen. That's service. Paul was free in his serving. That is freedom. Galatians 4:8 says, Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. So that's telling me that we are going to serve somebody. Whether we're serving under the Holy Spirit or whether we're serving on our own, we're going to serve somebody. Then he says we're separated. He uses the word separated here. Separated from what? We're separated from something. Separated from the world. Separated from bondage. Galatians 1:15. Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians. And I know sometimes when we turn to Galatians right away, our defenses go up because Galatians talks a lot about freedom. And we're cautious that we don't go in the wrong place with freedom. I understand that. So I want us to follow through with this a little bit. I'm not going to read all of Galatians, but I want to read just a couple of verses in Galatians, pick them out. Galatians 1 verse 15 says, But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. I'm going to use that word separated here. That explains about as good as I can explain what the word separated means. We are no longer tied to the umbilical cord. We are taken from the womb. There is a separation. I believe that's what Paul is talking about when he talks about being separated. We've all been tied to the world. We've all had our piece of that. And Paul is saying, I want you to be separated. I want you to be cut off. There's no place for us to be a part of the world. But I want to challenge us with something this morning. Sometimes we base, I don't want to know if I want to use the word doctrine, but we base our belief on the world. I will look at something that the world is doing, and I will take that, and I'm going to do exactly the opposite. That's going to make me righteous. Is that so? No. No, it's not. So what do we base it on? Somebody tell me. Somebody said the word, didn't you? This is where we base our decisions on. This is where we base our beliefs on. This is where we base what is the world. You see, when we decide that we're going to base our belief exactly opposite from the world, we are part of the world system. That's what we do when we base our beliefs on the world. Actually, I think Dana shared that not too long ago. Maybe it was in your instruction class. My daughter talked about that. When we base our actions to be exactly opposite from the world, we're part of the world system. We made our decision according to what the world does. Let's be careful of that. That's not freedom. We are separated unto the gospel. We are spiritually set free. No wonder Paul could say that he's a free man. He's a prisoner, but yet he is free. We look at Paul and we think, Paul must have had a strange mindset. It doesn't quite make sense what he does all the time. But he's free. He's a free prisoner. Let's look at verse 1 in Galatians 5. I know I'm hopping around here a little bit, but let's go to verse 1. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage," talking about the old law. He's saying, stay away from that. Don't be led by the Judaizers back into the law of circumcision. You've been set free. Friends, you and I have been set free this morning. If we have accepted the call that God has placed on our lives, and we're walking with Him, we are set free. And there's no way that we want to go back into our sin where we were at. If you want to go back into your sin where you were at, I'm going to question for a minute here if you're really set free. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and we're changed, we have a new heart. That heart does no longer desire the old sins. Now I want to give room here for us to grow. I know there are some things that I dealt with for many, many years after I gave my heart to the Lord that I had to continue to deal with. And it took years until I came to a place where I was clean. So I want to leave it open there for us to realize that there is growth. We need to grow, but there's never a place where we sit without growing. We've been set free. We've been set free to serve others, to love one another, free to walk in the Spirit. He says in this verse, stand fast. Stand fast is to adhere to the gospel. Listen to the gospel. Walk in the gospel. We have the Word of God as our instruction manual. I'm going to challenge you with this. We have the Word. When you take anything else besides the Word, then we're going on our own. The Word will override anything. Every one of you here this morning has this book. You've probably got 3 or 4 of them at home. We have no excuse. We're in free America. I know it's getting tighter. But we have this book. We have this book to read. We have no excuse. We need to stand fast. Use this as our instruction manual. And realize the Word trumps everything. There is nothing that is stronger than what He shared with us here in the Word that we can live by. We've been given a new way to walk. Go to verse 13. Same chapter. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." 14. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit." I want you to catch that. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Walk in the Spirit. How many people do we see today that are saying, "Yes, I am walking in the Spirit," but their lifestyle says something different? Now, I want to be careful that I am not here telling you this morning that our works are going to do it for us. Yes, we are going to be judged by our works. It's very important. But our works are not going to save us. I'm sorry, I've been looking back at some of my messages, and it seems I keep coming back to the same thing, that we have a Father in heaven that loves us. We got to do all we can to honor and glorify Him. Our works need to be there. But there's never a place where we're going to be saved by our works. And I want us to remember that. I guess that's something that God has really been working in my life with. That it's more. It's a relationship. It's not religion. Understand me when I say that. It's not religion. Religion is, I do it so I fit into the kingdom. No, it's not religion. It's relationship. When we have a relationship with the Father, that opens the door. We can walk in the Spirit. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Think about this. He's loved us with an everlasting love. He has drawn us. I want to be honest with you. This is a little bit of a different thought for me. It's been working in my heart probably for, I don't know, a couple years now. But this whole thing of the Father drawing us. It brings a little bit of a new light in my life as far as giving my heart to the Lord. See, I sometimes have the idea, once I'm ready, then I'm going to go give my heart to the Lord. I think we're wrong. I think that's one of the reasons why I struggle so hard. It's because I came to the place where I thought, now I'm ready. But it says here in Jeremiah, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's Old Testament. Now let's go to the New Testament. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. How important is it that we pray for our brothers and sisters? That we pray for our youth? That we pray for our young children? Is it important that we pray for them? That God works in their hearts? That He draws them? I believe it is. I really believe so. When I start seeing the beauties of heaven, the love of the Father, and may I say the awfulness of hell, I don't want us to give our hearts to the Lord because we're scared of hell. But we need to realize hell is real. Hell is eternal. But so is being with the Father. I want us to think about this whole thing of spending our eternity with the Father. Do I love Jesus so much right now that I want to go be with Him? Is that really in my heart? It's something we need to cultivate, I believe. To love the Father. There's so many things that we want to love on this earth that take place of the Father too many times. What do you call that? That's an idol, isn't it? When we put something ahead of the Father, we have idols in our hearts. And that is not good. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I brought this verse in here for a purpose. With the idea from the past that I need to seek. That I need to seek to give my heart to the Lord. Now I don't want to mislead you here. If I say the wrong thing here, I want you to talk to me after the service, okay? But I believe this ask, this seek, and this knock is after we've given our heart to the Lord. It's a continuing action to walk daily with Christ. Think about that. Let's go to verse 22 in Galatians 5. Our time is moving on real fast here. Go to verse 22. Let's look at some of the fruits of the Spirit. We're not going to tear into these, but I just want us to look at some of the fruits of the Spirit. These are proofs that we're walking with the Father. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's action. We cannot sit still. Christ, following Christ is not something that we do half-heartedly. If you tell me you're walking with the Lord, and it's only a Sunday thing, that's not going to pass. I'm not here to judge you, but the Father knows you. We dive into it with everything that we've got. We walk in the Spirit. If we truly are in love with Jesus, we will walk with all our being, not just part of us. Sometimes we tend to add to what Scripture says, thinking that we're going to make us look more holy. I think we're all guilty of that. We want to add just something a little bit, and it makes us look just a little bit more holy. That's not freedom. Verse 13 to 14 says, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. We've read this already. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love. We all crave love. Everyone in here this morning craves love. We desire to have a relationship with those around us. We want to find a love that brings us fulfillment. But what we often forget is that we also need to give love. It's not just receive love, we need to give love. Let's say I'm still younger. Back when I was dating my wife, I lived in Arizona. She lived south of me 212 miles. So we didn't get to see each other all the time. But let's say I came home one Sunday night from seeing her. And I didn't have the nerve to ask her to get married while I was with her. So I write her a letter. And I ask her, "Hun, would you marry me?" Back then it was Vonda, by the way, not Hun. "Would you marry me?" I get a letter back at the end of the week. The letter says, "Dear Lynn, I would love to marry you. It's a dream come true. The answer is yes." Oh, I've got a grin from ear to ear. I'm just all excited. There are a few minor details, though. I have a couple other boyfriends. Well, 7 to be exact. Would you allow me to keep Murray and Wayne? I must be in love because I've never been willing to give up so many of my boyfriends. My mother says you're a lucky man. There's one other thing. I will accept your proposal on the condition that I can stay in Arizona and live with my parents. I love them. They have done so much for me that I couldn't dream of leaving them. You wouldn't want me to hurt their feelings, would you? However, you can visit whenever you'd like to. And I'm sure you'll understand. Oh, and one last thing. I don't want to upset you, but I prefer not to take your name. Miller's just not that exciting a name. I look forward to setting the date. Yours in undying love and devotion, Vonda. I kind of stole that letter from a book that Harold gave me. It's called Follow by Floyd McClung. I changed a few things in it. Yeah, this letter is a little bit humorous. But is this the kind of letter we're writing to our Father? I'm going to give you everything, but just a little bit. I'm going to hang on to a little bit because I'm not going to give you quite everything. God, I hope you understand. I really do love you, but no, you're not getting this part of it. We do that and then we claim to be free. No, we're not. We either give Him everything or nothing. He wants all of us. I'll be honest with you, I'm as guilty of this as any of you. Living in true freedom or walking with Christ is something we never do half-heartedly. We never do it on the side. It's something that we do all the time. It's a daily commitment. It's not a label that we wear whenever it's suitable. But it has to be the center of everything that we do. It has to be the center of everything that we do. Galatians 5:6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." I'm not sure exactly where you're at here this morning here at Calvary Chapel, but I'm challenging you this morning. Are you walking in true freedom? Is there something that you're withholding and still calling it freedom? Are we as a church known for what we're for rather than for what we're against? I hope so. We have to choose. Is it going to be religion or is it going to be relationship? You see, when Jesus came to the cross, He brought complete freedom. When we take that piece of bread, when we have communion, we take that piece of bread and we start talking about the body of Jesus, how it was broken for you and for me. We take the cup, we take that and we say, this is the blood of Christ. It was shed for you and I. But then we turn around and we walk how we want to walk. Let me ask you, did Jesus go to the cross and die so that you can be set free, so I can be set free? Mm-hmm. He did. So what are we doing when we tell Jesus, I really appreciate you going to the cross and you dying for me, shedding your blood for me, but I'm not going to accept it. We're telling Jesus, you didn't do enough. We put Him in a little box. And we say, no, Father, you did not do enough. I have to help you out. There's some things that I have to do to help you save me. No, Jesus did all that it takes. It's up to us to accept what He offers to us. You see, when we come to this whole thing of adoption, somebody that... Those of us that have worked through adoption, that understand adoption in the whole process, we could not adopt until there were some ties cut on the other end of it. See, the Father cannot adopt us until we cut those ties, until we let go. There's no way that a child can call his adoptive father, Father, until he's been adopted, until he's really taken him in. We try to call Jesus Abba Father. And we don't commit ourselves fully to Him. That's a slam to Him. Unless we let go completely and find true freedom in Him, then we can call Him Abba, Father. Revelation 3:20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. Think about this for a minute. When we open the door, we accept what He's offered to us. He will come in and sup with us. He's going to sit at the same table. We're going to fellowship together. We're going to eat together. That is freedom. Is that for eternity? Yeah, that part's for eternity, but it's now. When we come to the Scriptures, when you get on your knees in your daily walk, there is fellowship with the Father. That's what we need to be experiencing today. So my prayer this morning, as for each one of us here at Calvary Chapel, is that we're experiencing true freedom. That we understand in our hearts what it is to walk with the Father. So I want to bless you. Would you stand this morning for prayer? Father God, again we thank You that we can be free. Lord, no, we don't understand all of this. We don't understand how that You were willing to come give Your life for us. It doesn't make sense to us. But yet we know You did. Lord, You called each one of us by name because You love us. Father, I pray that You would just help each one of us this morning to search our hearts. Lord, to know whether we are in freedom or not. If there's any doubt, Father, I pray that we would bring it to You. And again, just acknowledge the fact, Father, that You are God. We are not. And we need You. We need You all the time. So we want to bless You. Thank You again for coming and shedding Your blood for us. Would You bless the congregation this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.